Welcome to Off Court, the Business of Sport podcast, where business and sports culture meet. Let's go. Kick it off, Robbie.
Welcome to the Sports and Culture podcast by Off Court. We're in for a treat today. We've got, in my opinion, one of the strongest personal brands in AFL culture with us for this episode. You've seen his name many times before. He's the chief photographer of the AFL, the man behind the lens, Michael Wilson. Michael, thanks for joining the podcast. How you been going?
I'm well, thanks, Robbie. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've obviously, you know, the last 18 months or so has been tough for everyone. Frankly, it's been a bit of a shit show. How has that impacted upon you?
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a challenging 18 months. If I go back to last year when the season was put on hold after round one, yeah, myself, like nearly 80% of AFL staff were stood down. That was really challenging. It was frustrating. It was a really sad kind of time, not being able to do the job that I love. Fortunately, the season got underway again. It all moved up to Queensland. I was lucky enough to be able to get up to the hub up in Queensland and shoot the finals and the grand final up at the Gabba. So yeah, fortunate that I was able to still do my job in the end. But it had its challenges, that's for sure. This year as well, I guess, has got its own set of challenges. It's like I was saying to you earlier, we're up to round 22. We haven't missed around yet. Credit to all the people at the AFL that have kept the season going. But it makes it challenging to plan ahead and get things organised. But fingers crossed we can get the season away and the finals and grand final are able to get locked in pretty soon and we'll be able to finish the season out.
How was the hub in Queensland? Because, you know, we've heard, you know, from the players' perspective and even the coaches, but you know, from your side, I think it's really interesting. How did you find that? Because you're in quite a unique sort of situation.
I sort of think back to that time now, and it's kind of like it never actually happened. You're kind of living out, well, you're living in a hotel, basically. We're at the Royal Pines up on the Gold Coast. We were very well looked after. We had, you know, all our meals cooked for us and cleaning all done, which made it really easy to sort of concentrate on your job, and because everyone was so busy up there, we were so under-resourced. It was actually a great opportunity. If you look at the positives, it was a great opportunity for me to work with a lot of people at the AFL that I wouldn't normally work directly with. Everyone was just banding together, probably working outside of their designated roles just to get the season done. So, yeah, if you look at the positives, that was one of them. But it was certainly bizarre just living in a hotel for close to 2 months. A lot of people did it for longer than me. And yeah, it had its moments. I was a new dad. My wife and I just had our baby in July last year. So they stayed behind.
Congratulations.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. They stayed behind. I went up to Queensland when he was 2 months old. So
that's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, personally and from a family perspective, it had its challenges. My wife was fully supportive of me going up to the hub, but that didn't make it any easier at times. You know, missing out on some of those really great moments when my little fella was sort of making achieving milestones, I guess, that I wasn't there for. But you know, we got through it. Everyone had to take a hit, and that was probably mine. Yeah, it was just the reality of the situation at the time, and something we had to adapt to. And fortunately, we got the season out, and I was able to get home and spend some quality time with the family.
So how long were you in the hub for?
Yeah, so all up, I was there for 2 months. There was actually a transitional hub, is what they called it, where everyone had to quarantine for 2 weeks before they went to the other hub. So the transitional hub was I think it was about round 21 we all went up there. That was the final sort of shipment, I guess, of AFL staff and AFL players and other people that needed to be in Queensland for the finals and grand final. So yeah, that was 2 weeks quarantine. We were allowed out of our rooms, and you know, we had communal areas where we were able to have meals and all that kind of stuff. But obviously we weren't allowed outside the hotel until we did our 2 weeks and everyone passed their COVID tests.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I think people now appreciate from the player's perspective or the player's sort of point of view that they had to take quite a cut. But I don't think people necessarily or fans think sort of outside that bubble to all the people that make the game, you know, that bring it to life, that put it onto TV screens and on social media and, you know, behind the scenes in operation. It's a serious sacrifice. I mean, you know, yours is a perfect example. You've just had a child, you know, you've had to leave your family and go into literally an isolated hub for a number of months. It's a massive sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, everyone had to take a hit in some capacity. Mine was, you know, leaving my wife and son. Others had, you know, sick relatives or had personal challenges themselves. Everyone sacrificed something to get the season away. And we all got through it. We all pushed each other through it. And I guess at the end of the day, that you'll look back at the 2020 season and say it was a success given the challenges that were presented.
And we at Uncle Jack, we were and we still are a licensed brand within the AFL. And I remember it must have been March or April of 2020 when basically the whole sports industry, I think it was led by the NBA, where there was just that mass sort of exodus that you mentioned. And it was just, you know, I've been in the kind of the sports business industry for a little while, and you know, you obviously build up a few connections, and just the amount of people, you know, in my own personal network that, you know, had lost their job on a single day in one industry is phenomenal. And you know, even from a business perspective, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the numbers were. I think you mentioned something like 80%.
80% was stood down, yeah, after round one, yep.
Yeah, which is just crazy. And, you know, from a business perspective as well, there's that flow-on effect because it makes it almost impossible to actually to do any business when you're no longer have any connections, you can't get any communications. And of course, you know, it's no fault of the AFL, everyone was doing it tough, but there's that flow on effect to other industries, which I'm sure you're very, very aware of. But I want to kind of go back a bit. I think we've kind of skipped forward. I want to know, like, you've built this incredible personal brand. How did that start? Like, how did you get into like photography and how did that blossom into, you know, where we are right now?
I guess I've always loved football. I've always loved photography. I've always been creative. So for me, I've kind of landed on my feet with a job that's suited to my passions and my skill set, I guess. The way I got into photography, it's kind of a long story, but I can summarize it pretty easily. I actually have a Bachelor of Design degree. So I was a graphic designer for 7 or 8 years before I transitioned into photography. But I always wanted to be a photographer, always had the background knowledge given photography was one of our core subjects as part of the design degree that I did. And I guess it sort of dawned on me one day that, you know, I just bit the bullet and said, I want to be a sports photographer. I want to shoot AFL. So yeah, I just bought a whole heap of photography gear. I went out, started shooting just country matches, VFL matches, stuff you didn't need to be accredited for, just to build up a folio, learn the skills, that kind of thing. Yeah, so I started to get a folio together. I met other photographers. You get feedback. You learn where you can improve. You learn different skills. I guess my break came in 2005 when I photographed an Essendon intra-club match. Took some pictures, emailed them into the club, just introduced myself, said, hey, starting out, if you want to use these pictures, you know, for a story on your website, go for it. They got back to me straight away and said they really loved the photos, asked me to come down the next week. That's when I met their media manager at the time, Simon Matthews, who then offered me Essendon's photographer's pass for the 2005 season. And I guess that was my door opening, I guess, into the AFL world, because I was able to actually shoot AFL matches then. I was able to network. I was able to meet the other photographers that were on the AFL matches at that time. Got some really great feedback, and I guess, yeah, your pictures are opened up to a whole new audience once you start shooting at the elite level. Yeah, and from there, I was offered a position with Slattery Media at the time, which had the AFL Photos contract. That was the following year, I think, in 2007. And from there, it just, I guess you just gain momentum. You end up, you end up networking. You get to, your work gets out there a bit more. You get published in newspapers. Your byline is seen. If you're lucky enough to take some pictures that really resonate, that have meaning and that really communicate with people, and your name gets associated with those, and then you take another picture like that and another, and your name starts to build up, your brand starts to build up, and people start to know who you are, what you do, and what you stand for. And I guess, yeah, every day I'm building on that. This weekend it's a whole new opportunity for new pictures, new stories, new ways of communicating with the AFL audience, with photography lovers. Yeah, that's the great thing about photography and AFL photography. Every match is different. Every match has its own story, has its own moments. And being able to capture those is the trick, I guess, and creatively capturing them as well. I guess that's something I really pride myself on, is seeing the game through my eyes, through a creative lens, I guess, and capturing images that resonate with people creatively as well. So I guess that's it in a nutshell, mate. It's a bit of a long-winded story, but that's kind of how I've got to where I am now.
Yeah, but it feels like the key is just, you know, you build momentum, right? Like you obviously needed that first opportunity, which, you know, to be honest, you actually created yourself by actually going and actually doing something. But then, you know, you just kind of capitalized on that momentum and keep moving forward and onto bigger and better things.
That is a big part of it. Getting an opportunity is, you know, there's some luck involved in that, but capitalizing on that opportunity and making the most of every moment is what it's about. And that's about being prepared and having, you know, the foresight and vision to know and have faith in yourself that you've got the skill to produce something special.
Yeah, I love that. And was there a particular like tipping point or turning point when you kind of felt that things were really starting to come together as far as building up your sort of professional brand?
I think in 2014, I think it was, Hawthorn asked me to capture their grand final week, a behind-the-scenes photo essay at Waverley. And that was kind of when I knew that, yeah, an AFL club trusted me to get these intimate photos of their players and staff. The resulting photo essay went bananas. Like I remember my Instagram followers after that photo essay was published just went through the roof. And I always kind of think, just from a personal brand, that was when things really took off for me. That was when, I guess, people that follow AFL images were aware of who I was and what I did. And yeah, that photo essay, the 2014 Hawthorn Grand Final, was probably, from a personal point of view, when my name was cemented as, you know, an AFL photographer. And and then I guess I did it again in 2015 with Hawthorn. That cemented it. And there were a few pictures that came along after that. It was a picture of Mitch Clark I took, which really communicated and really stood as a symbol for awareness of mental health in the AFL landscape.
I remember that one.
Then there were a couple other pictures, and it just kind of all, I guess, rolls on to one another, and that's, you know, where you gain, like you said, momentum, and your name is cemented, and your image starts to gain legs.
On that, I suppose one of your more iconic snaps has been the Taylor Harris image that certainly went viral and has attracted, national media coverage. Can you run us through all that? Because it was obviously, you know, and I think even now there's still commentary around it. From your perspective, can you run us through that sort of saga, I guess?
Yeah, it was a crazy time. I think I look back on it now and it was such a whirlwind. I took this great picture of Taylor. I think it was like, yeah, it was at Whit Nobles round 7, 2019, I think it was. No, 2018. I can't remember the year, to be honest. But took this amazing picture of her at Whit Noble, kicking the first goal of a match against the Western Bulldogs. I actually, any game you're shooting Taylor, you're always aware of when she's kicking for goal, just given her athleticism. She's got this amazing goal-kicking technique. So she took a mark in the first minute. I was in position. Went back. She took the kick on goal, went straight through the middle. It was an amazing kick. She kicked it from 50 metres out, went straight over the umpire's head. Yeah, she put everything into the kick. The resulting photo was just spectacular. Her elevation from the ground, the leg extension, everything. It was just an amazing photo. So, yeah, looked at it on the back of the camera and thought, yep, that's a ripper. Put it on social straight away. Got picked up, I think, 7AFL. Picked it up straight away and labelled it, you know, photo of the year. And, yeah, from there it gained legs and unfortunately attracted a lot of derogatory commentary online, which was the unfortunate part of it. The thing that happened that kind of changed the dynamic of things was 7AFL actually removed the picture from their channels to – given the amount of derogatory comments that were leveled at the image, they thought it would be easier to remove the image rather than moderate the comments. And that actually caused more uproar than the photo itself. People demanded the picture remain and that removing the picture sent the wrong message. You know, it was giving in to the trolls. It was the picture should be celebrating a great athlete, not letting these keyboard warriors have their way. And out of protest, people just started reposting the picture over and over and over into the thousands, tens of thousands of times. And that's when it went fully viral after that. And that's where it got out of control. It was making headlines nationally, actually internationally as well. There were stories in the New York Post, the Irish Times ran stories of it. Scott Morrison commented on it in one of his press conferences, and it was crazy. I was getting calls from TV stations, radios, just wanting interviews, and yeah, it was madness. And I mean, the thing I still come back to is, you know, I'm glad the image was almost a line in the sand moment. It was, you know, celebrating women in sport, but it was also, you know, a symbol now for not giving in to online trolls, to making a stand against online bullying. But it's also just, you know, we shouldn't forget the fact that it's such an amazing picture of an elite female athlete. I still come back to that. It's just a brilliant picture of a woman playing our great game, and that should be celebrated as part of it as well. But I am proud of the fact that it's a symbolic image that supports women in sport, but also is a symbol of standing up to online bullying.
Well said. That's really well put. How did you feel during the saga? Because obviously, you know, you were getting a lot of attention. You had a lot of eyeballs. There was a significant amount of commentary. Look, how was it making you feel? Did you feel like obviously you weren't happy with some of what was being said? It was quite toxic. It was very toxic. You know, how were your emotions during that time?
Yeah, I remember being okay during it. I had a lot of support from people at the AFL. Most of the interviews I was doing were coming through the AFL communications team. So, you know, they were very supportive, making sure I was okay with talking about it. And I was. I don't remember a time where I felt under pressure or felt vulnerable at any stage through it. The overwhelming feeling during that time and of that image was one of positivity and the positive aspects of it, not the derogatory comments that were being leveled at it. I just put them out of my head. I was celebrating the fact that it was a great image and the positivity that it was evoking with the community was what I was focusing on. And so I wasn't getting dragged down by any of the negativity associated with it, I guess.
No, I love that. So, I mean, that's going to go down as one of the most iconic images in the game ever.
Maybe. I guess the test of time will tell. Iconic gets bandied around in the photography world a bit, but yeah, it's probably as far as AFLW, it might be up there, but yeah, I'm always hesitant to kind of say an image of mine is iconic. I'll let other people decide, and
I'll say it for you.
The test of time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, no, you're a very humble man. We did a podcast recently with Byron Cook on the topic of media in footy. And one of the interesting topics was that the sometimes shaky relationship between athletes and the club and media. But you, as one of the exceptions, seem to have the absolute trust of all parties. I mean, you're the man. You pretty much get whatever access you want. Do you think that's just a branding thing and a trust sort of access?
Yeah, I think reputation is everything. I'd like to think over the journey I've managed to prove myself as someone with that has integrity, that you can trust, that is not out to exploit our athletes, our game. I'm just all about capturing great pictures that tell the stories of the game. And I think the clubs and the players see that. I think they appreciate the fact that when it comes to inner sanctum stuff especially, I'm always discreet. I'm always, I guess, having awareness of when a picture should and shouldn't be taken. And probably like I touched on before, the 2014 grand final photo essay I did at Hawthorn is probably the perfect example of that. Clubs saw that as, okay, we can have a photographer, and players saw it as well. We can have a photographer living inside our four walls and tell the stories without it being an issue. You know, I think, like I touched on before, you just build trust and relationships the longer that you're in the game. And it's all about, personal contact and relationships, and I've been fortunate enough to be in the game for 15 or so years now, and you get to know players well, you get to know clubs and how they operate, and you just, I guess, build on your reputation of being someone that's trustworthy and that is just there to capture great pictures that tell the stories of the game. So it's I guess it's a bit of a no dickhead policy is my philosophy. Like, it's about if you're in a club, just being aware of your limitations and not taking a picture of something that you shouldn't. It's a bit of an awareness thing I have, I guess, that clubs and players appreciate.
Love that. So as a footy fan, you get to sort of see and experience things that the majority of fans of the game don't. What's been your biggest sort of highlight or pinch me moment where it's just like, how am I even here right now?
I quite often find myself in the middle of the MCG. It could be round 15, Freo v Melbourne at the MCG. There's 10,000 people there. But I quite often find myself just shooting the coin toss thinking I'm so lucky and privileged to do what I do. I'm working in a game I love, doing a job I love, taking photos. I quite often pinch myself. I don't know. I guess, the first grand final I shot was probably, a bit of a pinch me moment. That was 06, the first grand final I shot. But quite often, almost every job, actually, I pinch myself. So I can't believe that I'm getting paid to do this. This is my dream job. I love doing it. More recently, I had a shoot with Sid Jackson, Nicky Winmar, Gavin Wanganeen, Cozzy Pickett, and Brad Hill in the middle of the MCG, as the sun was going down. It was just such a privileged opportunity to shoot these legends for a portrait. I remember thinking to myself at the time, how lucky are we? I was with Michael Klein from the Herald Sun, we're standing in the middle of the MCG, there's no one here. We're taking these beautiful pictures. Yes, there's a bit of pressure there to get a great shot, but, we've got confidence in our skills to get those shots. Yeah, quite often I think to myself, very lucky to do what I do. Yeah, very privileged and fortunate to work in a game that I love, doing a job that I love, taking pictures.
Amazing. Yeah, that's a fair lineup to be shooting. As you said, few legends in there. There's a iconic photo actually. I think it must be from the 90s, where it's got like Gary Ablett, I think Wayne Carey, maybe Plugger in the, like, I think it might have been on Bourke Street or something.
Standing here and they all got the big pants on. Yeah, I know the one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that. I just love that image.
Jason Dunstall, yeah.
Dunstall, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I know the picture you're talking about. Yeah.
That's an absolute classic. That'll age well, I think.
Yeah, I know the one.
They're in the daggy kits.
Yeah, they got like the chinos. They're all like such 90s fashion. Yeah.
Yeah. It's iconic. I love it. But what are some of the, like, obviously you're in a very privileged position to see and experience things that a lot of fans don't. But professionally, what are some of the challenges that people may not consider? Because, I mean, you're often, you know, behind the scenes or literally behind the camera. So people don't usually consider your side of the stories or the challenges that you might face. What are some of those from a professional perspective?
Well, there's different aspects of it. I mean, personally, the job is challenging as far as just the hours I work. It's hard to have a normal routine as far as, you know, working weekends. So this weekend, working Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Friday night, I won't get home till midnight. You know, you're wound right up after a game. It's hard to get to sleep. Then you got to do your second edit the next day. You might do it that night so you don't get to bed till like 1, 1.30, and then maybe you have to back it up the MCG with a 1.10 match or something, you know, running on fumes basically. That's one challenge. It's a physically demanding role, you know, as well as you're lugging around a lot of gear, like 25 kilos worth of gear taken to a match, carrying that around, physically taxing. Yeah, there's other challenges as far as shooting a match. The pressure is a challenge of getting the shots. You know, you're not always going to get the shot of the mark of the year or whatever, but the pressure to cover a match can be intense at times, especially when you have to file during the game. So, you know, you've got your laptop next to you, you've got to file as you go so that all the news outlets, the AFL digital channels have content to put out there, all the clubs. That's a challenge. But I guess as well, creatively, there's challenges as well, coming up with something new for a portrait or a new way of shooting a match. I mean, there's nothing new, but, you know, there's ways of adapting techniques or you know, trying to think outside of the square just to come up with something that's going to resonate with the audience. That's a challenge, just, you know, coming up with new ways of looking at the game, new ways of shooting a portrait, new ways of cropping, new ways of retouching something so that it's fresh, I guess. That's a challenge. Creatively, it can be a challenge as well. So there's a whole gamut of challenges associated with the role, and that's just a few of them, I guess.
Love it. So, mate, before we wrap up, if you can only pick one top iconic moment that you've been able to experience and photograph that will always be, you know, at the top of your list, what is it? You only got one.
Do you mean like an actual photo or a moment?
A photo slash moment, like an all-encompassing, this is the top memory of my professional career so far.
There's a photo, I kind of go back to this as one of my favorite photos. There's a photo of Charlie Curnow taking a spectacular mark over Tom Langdon, Carlton v Collingwood, MCG, maybe 2018, I'm going to say. Could have been 17. Absolute hanger, spectacular mark. Was compared to the Alex Jezelenko mark in the 1970 grand final over Jerka Jenkins. Roughly the same area on the ground, Carlton v Collingwood. Very similar mark, the way he took it. I got a cracking frame of it. Great position. Curnow's airborne. Langdon is as well. Just a classic Aussie rules hanger. Classic Aussie rules photo. But I just love the connection it has to the history of the game in that, you know, it was compared to the Alex Jeselenko mark, MCG, Carlton v Collingwood. I love the history of the game. For that photo to kind of be referenced back to an iconic, another iconic image in the Jeselenko mark, I don't know, it just gives me the warm and fuzzies. It's like, it's right up there with one of my best action photos, I would say. But I just love the connection it has to the history of the game.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's a very wholesome answer.
I always go back to that photo. It's a classic Specky. I was fortunate enough to get a great angle on it. It's a cracking frame. So, yeah, I'll always go back to that photo.
Amazing. Well, Michael, thanks so much for coming onto the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on and hear about your story and your rise to top of your game, really. So thanks very much.
No worries, Robbie. Thanks for having me and all the best, mate.